But we can also identify something else when we consider the faithfulness that surrounds this great covenant. And it's more of a practical way of applying it. Faithfulness in light of unfaithfulness. Sometimes that's how you notice qualities about people, don't you? That you might notice someone who's particularly kind when you've been receiving a lot of unkindness from someone else. Or maybe you're not someone who's very generous, and then you meet with someone who's very generous. And it sort of exposes maybe a flaw within your own character and your own nature. You know, when we compare ourselves to God, there is no comparison, is there? A speck against the backdrop of eternity and of our infinite God. And all that we need to do to ascertain the faithfulness of God is to remind ourselves of how often we are unfaithful. Now, what I say to you is, this is precisely what David does in these words. And he says it with great honesty before the Lord. And it must have hurt him. It must have really hurt him. Although my house be not so with God. Now, we don't need to struggle to come to terms with what he means, do we? I think anyone who's here this morning, any of the little ones, any of us who are here present, I'm sure you understand what that means. Although my house be not so with God. Again, if we just use more contemporary speech and language, my family isn't right with God. My children are not right with God. This was the frank and the honest admission that he brings for everyone to read and everyone to know. And he's not hiding behind a door here. He's not concealing the problem and imagining on the outside everything is fine, everything is well. He comes to an end of his age and his life, and he says, Lord, I know my house isn't right with you, although my house be not so with God. Of course, in his own family, among his sons especially, the lies were many. There was murder, there was dishonesty, there was rebellion, there was immorality, there was wickedness, there was at times a total absence of fear. And of course, for some of them, he obviously had great concerns, Absalom, as to their salvation and where they were. But he doesn't leave this concern open-ended when he says, be not so. He says, be not so with God. Because that is his chief burden and his chief desire. And his conscience feels the sharp pain of conviction. Now, I want you to think about something here, a little bit of careful analysis of Scripture. That when he says, although my house be not so with God, as I said, it's not open-ended because, in fact, what he is doing is referring back to something else he's previously said in verses 3 and 4. Will you follow with me and notice the emphasis upon those words? Be not so. Well, you might say, David, what do you mean, be not so with God? What he's mentioned, what has he mentioned already? Has he not mentioned, as we thought about last week, those features and those characters of a true leader? And what is a true leader? One who rules in the fear of God. That's what you find in verse 3, don't you, in verse 4? He that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And I said to you last week that it has almost a threefold application in a civic capacity to leaders and rulers. It has a ecclesiastical or sort of spiritual application in the sense of pastors and ministers. But on the authority of how David applies it to his own life, it has a family application. And it speaks especially to the dads, if we are fathers in the house of God this morning, or if we are those in positions of leading and guiding and nurturing our loved ones. David has to say, you know, it's not all that it should have been, my life. Although my house be not so with God, and he admits here, he confesses that this is where he failed. No, I'm not trying to create a culture where all we think about is our failures. I wouldn't want to do that. But I believe that we must search ourselves daily. Search ourselves. I must do it. And we must all do it. And if we are mothers or fathers, or if we have some sort of influence over our loved ones, or even just as individual Christians, where we are, where we work, what is our influence? What is our ruling? What is our impact that we have on those around us? Especially in respect to families, fathers, mothers, children. May it not be the case that we say, although it be not so with God for my own. Matthew Henry said, we and ours are that really which we are with God. It's a great statement. We and ours are that really which we are with God. It doesn't matter if David's sons had luxuries of the palace. I mean, where did that get them? And it doesn't matter that they had maybe some of the best education, not despising those things, of course. David isn't brought to the end of his life and brought to this sense which he's saying to himself, although my house has not had all the creature comforts of life, he's had them. It doesn't matter, does it? Because we're born naked and we leave naked. But right with God, right with God, and many a man and a woman of God have wept over their children who know not Christ. And it's becoming a common problem. It's a prevalent issue. If it's not driving us to prayer, why not? Why are we not praying about these things?